This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the bat for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW, 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Woo! Thank you very much. Thank you, and welcome to the one talk show in America that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life. I am joined in this luxurious radio studio and TV studio, I might also
really
add. Johnny Dean, how you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. It's spacious, it's luxurious. And
people don't realize we dress up with a suit and tie every day, even for the radio.
Why do we have our ties and our suits on today? We're just on the radio this hour.
Yeah, I know.
It's
but
because
I think,
it's the professionalism.
No, I think they're going to be, they simulcast us, folks, for one of our hours on radio and television, which is why we do have to dress up. Back in the olden days, when we just did radio, I mean, you are really a slob.
Why, the tank top thing going on and, you know, the...
The chest wig.
The Sansibelt slacks.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Nehru
jacket.
Did you ever own a Nehru jacket?
I did. It was purple.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Nah, I never had one of those. I had a corduroy jacket.
I had the Nehru jacket and a medallion.
You didn't have a medallion.
I had a medallion.
Come on. Did you really?
Yeah, some platform shoes. I had the whole deal, bell bottoms.
I had the bell bottoms.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were purple, actually.
God, are we dating ourselves now? I saw this, Johnny. I haven't read it, so I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm pulling rank. 7 Steps to Happiness in Retirement. Let me know if it's worth talking about, because I want to be happy in retirement. Don't you want to be happy in retirement?
Yeah. There are only 7 steps to happiness?
Yeah. We'll come back to that once you have had a chance to read it.
All right.
Remarried after having kids. I do like talking about this topic because one of the things that happens in financial planning far too often is parents, especially those that are separated or divorced, end up accidentally disinheriting the children. We'll get a chance to talk
their
about
that. Their own
kids. Yeah. Could be. It can happen. Living to 100, Jeannie Phipps wrote this. Living to 100 requires intensive retirement planning. Hey, we do intensive retirement planning on this program every day.
We do. It's work. I got to tell you this. Planning, you know, off the air and all that stuff, setting up a retirement plan, it's not just a matter of pie charts and graphs and just grab something off the internet and just say this will work because you're 65 years old and there's a formula. I mean, it is work. And there are a lot of people that don't even want to bother with putting it
in. It's also a lot different in real life than it is talking about.
Oh,
way different in real life, especially when you're putting your bunzonis on the line.
If you've never actually sat across from somebody with a desk with their actual retirement funds that they've entrusted to you.
You forgot the jelly on your sleeve part.
I left that off because nobody understands that reference. If you want to explain it, you can.
I'm sitting around the kitchen table.
This was 40 years ago.
With a client, and I'm getting jelly all over my sleeve because they had toast and jelly and whatever for breakfast. That's where the saying came from. It came from me.
It's when you made house calls, and
house
this was
calls.
Back in the 70s, speaking of platform shoes.
It was back in the 70s, and don't date me any more than you already have. Also, the dog was chewing on my shoelaces and doing whatever else dogs do.
Right.
Anyway, I do want to move on. There's this other one that we'll get to, maybe time segmentation as the compromise solution for retirement income. Woo, that's kind of interesting. That was on Advisor Perspective. They're talking about bucketizing, if you will, your portfolio. They won't give me credit for that, but that's okay because when the retirement researcher is talking about time segmentation, he's talking about me.
He's talking about you, and he's talking about what we've been talking about since the late 80s, early 90s.
He's a young guy. I was talking about it when he was probably 10 years old.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's probably true.
Or 15, maybe.
Yeah.
But I start today with this. Beyond the 401k, new research shows why you need more than one source of retirement income. Sit back, folks. Relax. It is the Ray Program.
The revolution is what that's sort of a revolution, the Ray revolution.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to stick with that. I don't really like that anymore. I used to do it a lot.
Well, I remember that.
So much anymore.
I remember that.
We might want to change to, like, you know, any other Beatles song.
Okay. What is it?
That doesn't have to be a Beatles song. It could be, you know, like Already Gone. We played that, you know, in one of the other hours. That was pretty good.
We used to play Light It Up or something like that. What was that song we used to play? That was kind of cool.
I think we did a Pink song once.
Oh, man. That, you would have had to
twist
my arm
for that.
Getting the party started. No. All right. We'll come up with something.
All right. So this is interesting. This is a study by Northwestern Mutual. Here's what they had to say. Worried about running out of money in retirement, two-thirds of Americans believe there's some chance that they will outlive their savings. But new research shows you can replace some of that uncertainty with greater level of confidence when you think beyond investing in your 401k and add it to the mix of other retirement assets. You know, I've obviously believed this. I've done this. I've talked about this. I think it's critically important. You don't want to have all of your eggs in one basket, the 401k, but yet most people, John, that's where the lion's share of their money is, because that's where the money is.
That's where they saved.
The research conducted by Dr. Michael Fink, the dean of the American College and chief academic officer, pretty smart guy,
yeah,
used a statistical analysis to simulate the financial experiences of thousands of hypothetical retirees in each simulation. Dr. Fink assumed the persons retired at age 65 with $2 million in taxable and non-taxable retirement assets and withdrew 4% each subsequent year, increased with the rate of inflation.
So 80 grand is what they took, and they gave themselves a bump up for inflation.
So here's what they found, and I know you know this because I saw a piece that you wrote on it the other day, and
yes,
I thought your piece was excellent, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Retirees with only investments had a 29% chance of outliving their assets.
So I have a 71% chance that I'll make it. I'm not all that excited.
You don't like those odds?
No.
Cash value from permanent life insurance can provide tax-efficient income in retirement. In contrast to a dollar in bond investments, having an equal amount in life insurance cash values reduces the likelihood of a retirement income shortfall down to 21%.
So now I'm at 79% instead of 71. All right.
This is odd that a finance professor would be, you know, looking at this. But I guess because Northwestern Mutual paid for it, they would obviously include this. But it is fascinating information.
The numbers aren't made up.
And then finally, adding a portfolio deferred income annuity to the mix reduces the risk of a shortfall even further, to 16%. Now, I'll add my 2 cents worth to this, because I really believe in multiple sources of income. And I think they're getting it right, and I think it's partially right.
Okay.
Because there's a whole space of investing that's left out of this study that we have talked about, you and I, many, many times, that I fully believe in. And that's an alternative space that isn't stocks, that isn't bonds, and that isn't insurance, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I think you should have stocks, you should have bonds, and you should have insurance. That's called product diversification. But I also believe the alternative space for 20-25% of your retirement wealth makes a lot of sense if you know what you're doing. Example, let's just take a simple real estate example, all right? So real estate, how do you make money in real estate, John?
Well, you need some time, first of all. Leverage
sure.
can help.
Leverage can help.
If you've got some tolerance for risk.
So basically, you would expect to earn how much investing in real estate, as an example?
I couldn't give me a number that works. I couldn't tell you.
7-8% maybe.
All right. Okay. I was going to say 6, but 7
okay.
or 8. Okay.
Well, even if it's 6.
Whatever.
All right. I think if you used 6%, that's pretty much a cap rate. In other words, if you paid cash for a piece of real estate today, mm-hmm. you probably wouldn't do it if it only paid you 2% per year, right?
Probably not for the risk I'm taking.
Right. But if you bought a piece of real estate for all cash and it paid you 6%, you'd say, I'm doing okay. So that's a 6% cap rate. That cash would be after you paid all of your expenses.
It's all in, yeah.
Now, real estate also appreciates at about the rate of inflation, couple of percent. So I would use 8 with a 6 cap. And what makes real estate, as an example, from an alternative investment standpoint, is you kind of get to the same place as stocks, maybe 1% or 2% less, but you get there differently. When we come back, it's more on alternative sources of income. Because while this study got it right, I don't think they got it all right.
In other words, they left something out.
I think they did leave something very important out, but that's why we're here, to keep getting the good stuff in. So don't go away. This is The Ray Lucia Show. Here on the Ray program, 844-RAY-SHOW. That's the number to call if you want to get on board. The call is free. The advice, well, it just may be priceless today. I'm in one of those moods. 844-729-7469. Emails, raylucia.com, R-A-Y-L-U-C-I-A.com. Click on the Ask Ray button. It'll get right to my cell phone here, and I will probably read it on the air. I usually go to the cell phone before I get to the emails that you've got stacked up.
Well, oftentimes because when they come in during the show, it has some question about something we just talked
usually
about.
Usually relates so we try to what we're talking about.
Relevant. We'll do that toward the end of the hour.
Yeah. So we were talking,
so
we're
talking about alternatives.
You
were talking about alternatives. We were referencing this study, which confirmed what we said just within the last week or two about having alternative sources of income. You had said that it was a good article, but they left out something that you would recommend some people look into, which has to do with alternatives.
Yeah, and now alternatives sounds like scary and stuff, but an alternative investment is anything that's not stocks, bonds, or cash.
That's
right?
All it is. I mean, commodities could be alternative.
I would go light in the commodities department.
Oh, I would absolutely go
light. But real estate is the one that usually comes to mind, and I'm a huge, huge fan of real estate. Before the break, I was talking about how real estate and stocks kind of get to the same place, but they get there differently. In finance terms, that's called a lack of correlation. I think you used the term discorrelation once or whatever.
Well, they are not really discorrelated. They're uncorrelated, yeah. I think, is what the more accurate term is.
Yeah, that is more accurate because discorrelation would be an exact opposite.
It would assume that as one goes up, the other goes down, and they do it like that.
So let me give an example. We talked about a 6% cap rate real estate, which today, kind of hard to find, but let's just I don't think I would buy something for less than a 6 cap. What does that mean? If I'm going to shell out $1 million, I better put in my pocket, my bank account, every year, $60,000 per year.
And that means after what?
All
expenses
are paid.
That's what's left over.
All expenses are paid. Now, I might, on a really attractive building or whatever, where there's a high potential for raising rents, I might go down to a 5 cap. Apartment buildings today in the big cities is in the 4s, all right? I'm a little nervous about that, but I'm not an apartment guy. But I got people that are. I know people that do. And I've done very well in the past owning stuff like apartments and self-storage. That's a whole other story. So a 6 cap. Now, usually, there's a couple of things that happen if I paid all cash for the property. The thing that's most important is I have to have reserves. So when I'm calculating that 6 cap, I'm also calculating it after I've allocated a certain amount to a reserve account, and I treat that reserve account like it is an expense, which may take me down to a 5, all right? But that's only fair because having owned apartments, I mean, I had like some dude thought he was Richard Pryor blow himself up in a bathroom snorting something. That seriously happened. There was an explosion, and we lost like 3 or 4 units from the fire.
Wow. Well, you weren't in charge of the tenant screening. That's a whole other issue.
Fortunately, we had insurance, but there's always a delay, and it always costs you something, right?
Of course.
So you get a 6% yield and maybe 2% appreciation based on the real estate going up in value. It usually does.
And it's usually over time. Now, you got to give it some time. It's not guaranteed every year.
Yeah, because you have to raise rents. And there are time periods where you can raise rents substantially. And there are time periods where you might even have to decrease rents. But the cash flow of the property is what generates the cap rate. So as you increase your cash flow, the value of the building goes up. That has nothing to do really with the stock market. I mean, if there's a market crash and a recession, sure. But by and large, whether or not John Dean pays me rent each month has no impact on what Apple's doing or Amazon's doing, right? From a stock standpoint. So I love real estate. And then there's one other component, and you brought this up, and that's leverage. Mm-hmm. So if I don't have $1 million, but I have $300,000, I can put $300,000 down on a building and then use John Dean's rent to help pay that loan off over time. So now I'm building equity with every one of his payments. That goes to my bottom line, and that's where I get to a higher rate of return. And then finally, if I borrowed the money at a rate that was lower than the cap rate, I'm actually making money on the money that I borrowed. So if the loan rate is 5% and the cap rate is 6%, I'm banking one extra percent on the $300,000 that I borrowed, aren't I? So that's an extra $3,000 of potential cash flow. So that's why I like real estate, because of its lack of correlation. And it should be in this Beyond the 401k article. Mm-hmm. New research shows why you need more than one source of retirement income. I have great respect for Dr. Fink and all the people that did this research. Don't get me wrong. It's brilliant stuff, and everybody should have, quote, product diversification. But I think it's a mistake to eliminate all alternative investments from the mix, like that dude you were telling me about the other day.
Well, there was a couple of, a week or so ago, whatever it was, you might recall, there was an article talking about you should, telling advisors never.
Yeah, it was in Financial Planning Magazine.
Advisor.
It was stupid, because you got an advisor saying
Don't ever recommend annuities. Well, that was one of the things they said don't recommend. The other one that they said don't recommend was alternatives, which is going against what you're saying here. They said they're illiquid, they're hard to understand, they're very risky, they are tax inefficient, is what they said. They listed five or six things.
Okay, well, can we just address those? Let's start with the last one first. Real estate is tax inefficient.
They said alternatives. Now, he didn't mention, anything specific.
Oh, so he's talking long, short funds and hedge funds and stuff like that.
Things like
where
that
there's lots of trading going on. Well, I'm not going to disagree with that.
But he's throwing it all together. So when you come in and say alternatives, somebody might say, well, I read this article that says nobody should be recommending alternatives because it's, you know what I mean?
So let me give you what the real translation is in financial planner's parlance.
Please.
That means if you put your money into an alternative strategy, like a hedge fund, the hedge fund manager makes 2 and 20, 2% fees and 20%, and I get nothing. If you put your money into real estate, the real estate broker gets a commission and I get nothing. And all that money in both instances is not in the portfolio that I'm managing and getting my 1.5 or 2% per year. So if you do alternatives, it may be good for you, but it's going to really suck for me.
Me meaning the
broker
or whoever
is money manager.
You don't mean you literally.
No, because I don't do that stuff anymore.
People are going to listen with half an ear and they're going to say, what, huh? No, this is you acting as a broker or whatever.
That's what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. The half an ear part. Just
okay.
Little Bible lesson here on the Ray Lucia
Show. Look that up here.
Stick around. We'll be back. Thank you very much. this is so much fun. So much fun. The band is back together, and it's the Ray Lucia Show. If you want to email me, go to RayLucia.com. Click on the Ask Ray button, and I'll get right to it. Johnny will, too. Also, you can call us. 844-RAY-SHOW.
Ray Show, R-A-Y-S-H-O-W. You handed me something. You probably have something else you want to get to, but you handed me something here at the top of the hour, about a half hour ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What was it
called? Seven Steps to Happiness in Retirement.
By the way, they teach you in, you know, Blogville that it's always got to be seven this or five that or nine that. It's less than 10.
It's an odd number is what they like. The odd numbers seem to stand out a little bit more. And people like it.
Seven ways
risk.
That your wife will love you more after you get home tonight or something like that. I don't know.
People love steps. It's easy to follow. So this was by actually one of these big billionaire, or at least this was written.
Oh,
I guess it was
speaking of ears.
Have you seen those? I would say get a different haircut, sir.
Yeah, really.
I'm not going to mention. People know who we're talking
about.
That's
just not nice.
That's not nice.
That is not nice. We take that all back.
We do. We do. As true as it may be. The seven steps. He even listed them in Roman numerals.
Oh, that's great.
I'm not sure I want to get into this, but let me just tell you what it says.
Read all seven of them.
Do you like the touchy-feely stuff?
Not really.
At least half of these are
That's how you're going to have a happy retirement is touchy-feely stuff? Where's the money part of it?
All right, well.
Go ahead. Just read them off.
Well, all right. Manage your health. Well, all right. Okay. You should be doing that anyway. Yeah. Fine. Choose your best place to live. Well, how do I know that? I mean, all right.
I went to Nicaragua once. It was a pretty cool place until the riot broke out.
Did it really?
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, no. I was walking the streets thinking about Ortega. Is that his name? The guy down there? Thinking about how he was the militia, and then he turned into the president. That's craziness, man.
I haven't heard of Nicaragua since the 80s.
I know. The Sandinistas.
And then the El Salvador
and
the Contras or whatever.
The Contras, yeah.
Okay. All right. So anyway, choose your best place to live. Here's one. Pick the right home. Well, I mean, I don't need to be told this.
Okay.
Okay, this really gets into the ethereal stuff. Discover your purpose.
Oh, Lord.
That's step number four of the seven steps to happiness in retirement. Number five, take part in meaningful pursuits. Man. Now, I mean,
See, this dude's from San Francisco, so he probably is on weed.
he doesn't mean that, folks. He's being funny.
It's legal in California now.
Yeah, but I mean, this guy is.
Have you tried it yet?
No. What are you talking about?
Weed.
No, I've never had it.
Me neither.
No.
We're boring.
Whoa. I hear the music too, man. Wow. Did you hear that?
Boring.
Strengthen your relationships.
Oh, geez.
And build your professional support network. I mean, okay.
Where's the money part? Where's the money part if you want to have a happy, retirement?
It says happiness in retirement. And it leaves off money purposefully because obviously money doesn't buy happiness and all this stuff.
That's not true. Money does buy happiness up to a certain level.
Well, they found actually
it's up to about 100 grand now. It's between $75,000 and $100.
Ask somebody who makes 30 grand a year. If all of a sudden they made 70, they'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
Ask somebody who makes 70 to make 60 and you bring them up to 70, they're not going to notice it that much. Okay, they don't mention money in this. This is, again, one of those generic lists. Nobody's going to say, I followed the seven steps and now I'm happy in retirement.
You know what really ticks me off is I actually printed that story out without reading it first because it sounded good and it's a money manager that actually did it. And I wasted a lot of pages.
17, 18 pages, not
to
mention the ink.
That probably cost me a few bucks.
Not to mention the ink and whatever else.
Yeah.
This is stuff that you find online all the time. A lot of it is clickbait. I'm just not, I'm more of a strategy. You are. We've been hanging out long enough where I want to know if I'm going to be happy in retirement, show me. You know what brings me happiness? Again, this is just me. Guarantees. This is only me. All right? Some people don't need them. I like to know. I think I've said this before. Tell me what the worst case scenario. Tell me. I want to know where my guarantees are. I like them.
I had an email the other day from a nice fellow. He's emailed me a couple of times. And he was talking about his wife who was offered a pension buyout. Remember we talked about this a couple weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
How many of the big, huge companies that are pretty much self-insuring the pension for many of their workers.
They don't want to do that anymore.
They don't want to do that anymore because they're looking at the risk, and the risk being, what if these people live longer than the actuaries are telling me?
Yes.
And what if I, the company, the trustees, had a miscalculation, right?
Yes.
So he was asking me whether or not his wife should take the $258,000. I'm making these numbers up. I can't remember them. Or the $3,300 a month,
whatever,
for the rest of her life. And I remember I was in my car, and I was at a red light, and I happened to have my cell phone with me that's got the HP 12C on it.
I was
talking to him. I said, "Hang on a second, because I was returning calls. That's what I do."
While you were driving,
I was returning a call.
Okay.
I had my earpods in, so I wasn't illegal until I picked up my cell phone
to do the calculation.
Okay. But I was at a red light.
All right, good.
And I could do it fast enough to where I was able to tell him that he would be crazy to take the lump sum, or she would be. She's in good health. The lump sum was tantamount to like a 2.8 or a 3.1 or whatever, very low rate of return.
Hmm.
On the money and the annuity, I should say, was much higher than she could get net.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you paid, I mean, think about this for a minute. You get a lump sum of $250,000. What do you do with it? It's going to produce $3,300 a month. Well, you've got to go. I'm making that number up.
Yeah.
But you've got to go out, put that into some kind of a portfolio, and generate the guaranteed income for life. And the only way to do that is to purchase some kind of an annuity. And I knew off the top of my head, you couldn't get this. I think the rate was like 7% per year. And she's retiring, I think it was under age 60, 58 or 59.
But by taking the annuity, they're already getting that 7%.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
she would
exactly.
have to earn 7% withdrawing money from a portfolio. Anybody that knows anything about sequence risk knows that when you start withdrawing money from a portfolio, there's a reason why Bill Benjamin and all those dudes from the past and dudettes came up with the 4% rule. It's because 90 some odd percent of the time, 4% easily lasts 30 years.
But 7%.
But under a worst case scenario, when you're doing the 4% rule, what you're doing is you're projecting a worst case scenario because you have to. And most people end up dying someday with a lot of money they could have spent, right? So what that did for them, they had a portfolio, they had a 401k plan, had all kinds of other stuff, and this guy had the option of taking the full annuity payout from the company, or they said, well, we'll give you $100,000 in lump sum, and $1,800
a month, or
something like that. And I said, well, that is tantalizing. You'd have to make 7-some-odd% on your money whilst withdrawing money from your portfolio to compete with an annuity buyout if she dies, you know, somewhere in the 88 to 90 years of age.
This is a married couple. This is the wife who was taking this.
Yeah.
And was this going to go for both of their lives, the annuity?
I don't remember, to be honest with you. I think it was just her life.
Well, but you can always cover that with insurance, and you can get the higher payout. You can use this pension maximization we talked about.
That's true. So that's why when I see these touchy-feely things, happiness, of course, is, you know, finding your purpose and all that stuff,
well,
and living in a nice house and all that stuff, pretty obvious. But the one thing I would agree with, get taking care of health, you take care of yourself, and get some long-term care insurance. Or get something that will put money in your bank account in the unlikely event you or your, in the likely event you or your spouse end up having to go into some kind of a facility or need home health care, which incidentally is about 70% of us. So
well,
I'm not an odds maker in Vegas, but I think that's a pretty good, you know, pretty good odds.
Well, you have a couple. I mean, a single individual, I don't know what the odds are, but with a couple, you've got two people, the odds are pretty good that something's going to happen to one of them. So it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, and it's a C-note, all right? Just write that down. It's a C-note each year that they're in a facility, and about 60% of that probably if you need to have home health care, somebody coming in or spending 12, 15 hours a day. I mean, do the math. At 20 or 30 bucks an hour, just do the math, and then tell me you want to take that money out of your portfolio right now. Take $250,000 out of your portfolio and set it aside in the event either one of you need health care, or you can take a couple of grand a year and buy an insurance policy.
Put it on the insurance company. Let them worry about it.
It's called risk transfer.
It's exactly what it is.
And it's one of the things that these risk managers and big companies do all the time.
They're doing with their pensions, you just said. Sure.
Greed is good. Remember that movie?
Yes.
That's what he was doing, or trying to do.
Yeah. Gotta take a break.
We're back.
The guy is the story of the hurricane. The man he
thought. Hey, welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show, helping you to make better money moves, the program all about your money, your business, and your life. Surprisingly, we don't have very many business emails lined up today, but I think you just got one, didn't you?
Well, I did. Now it's kind of long.
You got mail.
Sorry.
Do we want to hit it. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
I get excited, and I feel like I'm the new guy here. I
jumped the gun.
You have.
It's all right. I kind of did too.
That's right. Mother Superior jumped the gun. That's what I did. All right, it's kind of long, so let me just summarize this for you, if I may.
Okay.
This is from Philip, who is 35 years old. Philip's got a 401k. They've got some extra money that they would like to invest, apparently. And his broker or his advisor or somebody seems to be telling him that they should look into what we've talked about before, IUL, or Indexed Universal Life Insurance. He's heard good things. He's heard some not so good things. But he says, Ray will give me the straight scoop. What would Ray do?
Yeah, well, what Ray would do is he would first ask you for more information. Because while I am a fan for certain people, and clearly a 35-year-old, if you were going to put money into anything beyond your 401k and or perhaps a Roth, it would be an Indexed Universal Life. But if you're a single guy, less so. If you're married with kids, more so. So I've got to go through the rundown, okay? Number one, are you married? Do you care about your wife?
In other words, do you need life insurance is the question, right?
Yeah, and your kids and all that stuff. And are you already paying for, say, term insurance? Because when I do the side-by-side comparison, I want to look at term and putting the rest of the money in a balanced fund versus putting the money into an Indexed Universal Life. And at what point am I better off with one or the other?
Because the Indexed Universal Life, to make it work properly, needs to be higher funded higher than the term.
Right, so that's the second
thing. So it's going to cost you more.
The second thing is, can I fund this at a level that would provide me with the most efficient mix of death benefit and cash value? Translation, can I fund it up to the MEC limit, the Modified Endowment Contract limit? That's what the IRS says is the maximum amount you can put into a life insurance policy. If you go over that, all the great tax treatment goes away. So you fund up to that, not a penny over, but you want to stay up as high as possible. Meaning, do you have a good job? Is the job stable? Another box that needs to be checked is, are you in a fairly high income tax bracket? I would say 22% or more, preferably higher. And can you make a long-term commitment? A lot of people that buy these, John, don't or can't make the long-term commitment.
3 years.
And that's a mistake.
Yeah, that's wrong.
But I was talking to one a few weeks ago. It was a physician. And I forget her age, 33 or something like that. And she's making all kinds of money. And she is married. I don't know if she has kids or not. But it's the perfect situation for her because, A, she makes too much money to even do a Roth. She's maxed out on her company, if you will, retirement plan at the clinic or the,
probably a 403B or something.
Well, I think she works for a bunch of other doctors.
All right, whatever. Know. Okay.
And her husband has got a good job. So they're making a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. She is a perfect candidate for one of these. But if you're making $48,000 a year, you're probably not. So I can't really answer
One of these meaning index universal life, what we're talking about for people that just tune
yes.
in.
Yes.
Yes.
But I think to throw the baby out with the bathwater is a huge mistake, because if you haven't looked at them recently, they're pretty competitive products the younger you are and the more money you have.
Well, this is another one of those things that is often just tossed out. Yes. Don't ever consider it. Don't ever consider something as complicated as cash value life insurance. And I suppose, Ray, that that's true for a good number of people. The problem is it's not true for everybody. And I don't, you know, I want to be recommended something. I don't want to be told I should never consider something until I know that it's not right for me and it doesn't meet my goals.
All you need to do, I carry this with me wherever I go. I really don't. I'm giving a talk on this in a week or so. Is read Dr. Wade D. Fowle, PhD, CFA, Optimizing Retirement Income by Combining Actuarial Science and Investments. Dun, dun, dun.
Now that sounds really wonky.
It is.
You're talking
really
about this?
Wonky. Yes, I am talking about that amongst many other things.
To a group,
but I'm
yes.
gonna translate it, okay?
All right.
I'm
okay,
not gonna
please.
Talk in foul language.
Don't use foul language on the show, Ray.
P-F-A-U.
Oh, foul language. We try not to use
it's
foul.
Dr. P-F-A-U, more commonly known as PFAU.
PFAU. Okay, PFAU. you hear a lot of him on this show.
Yeah,
we do
well,
a lot of this
a
foul
genius.
Language
I've
on
spoken
this show.
With him on the phone before.
Yeah.
He is absolutely brilliant. He's the retirement researcher. And anybody like, what was this fellow's name? Peter or Paul or Mary?
This was Philip,
oh,
the
Philip.
One that emailed
Sorry.
Us. Yes. Well, so you're close.
Anyone like Philip should read this, because what Dr. PFAU is saying is at some point, even if you're 35, and he does a 35-year-old case, a case study in here, he's saying that that 35-year-old that purchases term and invests the difference would be better off purchasing a whole life policy, which would be the whole life version of the IUL.
Yeah.
Depends on whether you want whole life or IUL. The whole life lovers go whole life all the way. The IUL lovers go IUL. I don't really care. I'm agnostic. But he has made a very, very compelling case that you should not only do a permanent life insurance policy, but also when you get to retirement, purchase an annuity. Optimizing, I've talked about this many times on the program.
Oh,
because
yeah.
it's clearly brilliance in action.
Well, this goes back also to the, I think it was the Fink study we talked about
yeah.
a couple of weeks
yep,
ago
yep, yep,
and,
yep, yep.
and we've brought up since then. And again, you have somebody, you're comparing somebody who's looking at cash value, whole life type or whatever type of policy, and versus trying to decide whether they should buy term and invest the difference. By nature, this is somebody with extra money. This
yeah.
is not somebody who only has term and has nothing else to invest.
And that's where the problem lies, because
of
the
course.
Pundits that write about this stuff
exactly.
think everybody makes $40,000 a year and can't afford to do anything beyond that. But there are people, newsflash, there are people in this country that have way more money at the end of the year in their bank account than they have spent. And those people would be well suited, especially if they're in good health, especially if they're younger than, say, 50, to look into some kind of a permanent policy as a means of not only saving for their retirement,
right.
but possibly saving their retirement.
Doesn't mean it's right. It means you should look into it.
You've got to do your due diligence.
Absolutely.
Oh, we are out of time, are
Already?
We?
Already? Get out of here.
Can't believe it. Johnny, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
For all your hard work. We thank you, folks, for tuning in. Now go out and make it a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information, answering questions about your biggest financial challenges, talking about your money, your business, and your life. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions. Ray is available to take your questions online at...